This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
So Jake, I think I found a bit of a cheat code in getting warmed up for the show. You know, for years, we did those premeditated videos that nobody really watched, but beforehand, you would sit over on one side of the table and just hum songs that were stuck in your head, and I was on the other side doing tongue twisters.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that would morph into some form of hilarity, at least something we thought was funny. I think those videos got about 9 watches each, but...
Right.
On nights that I do podcasts now, I make sure my daughter wants to read. I make sure she wants to read it by putting it in front of her and tricking her, because kids are kind of stupid. I say, hey, what about a little bit of Dr. Seuss? And I get that one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, black fish, blue fish, old fish, new fish in there. And before you know it, after about 20 minutes of that, all of the knots in the old tongue completely gone. So
incredible.
Lesson to you there, buddy.
I should procreate.
I could just buy you some Dr. Seuss books. You'll outgrow them.
Okay. I gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. To do that.
Yeah, man. What we need to do though is do we, you know, our content stream, you know, has been a little bit slow. We're not able to get together and do some stuff. We should do, you know, some creative things. Maybe you drunk off your ass reading Dr. Seuss, stuff like that. I mean, we got tons of, we could do anything, you know?
That's true. Like, I got real drunk last night by myself because I'm always by myself, but, I had a dance party for one last night.
Like, no
I
joke.
Just turned on some synth wave and then just transitioned to some old 90s country.
Oh,
and
man.
Just danced all around this house by myself, holding a beer at like 1:30 a.m. It was great.
That is quite incredible, actually.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I know, rocking chair.
Yeah, dude, that's great. Did you film any of this?
Oh, no. I it would have been a disaster for me to try to film any of that.
I was going
to
say, that could be good Patreon content, you know?
I mean, it could be. I'm telling everyone about it. Like, that's me just distancing myself from the shame of having done it.
There's no shame in that, man.
Patreon perk.
I don't even have to get too terribly drunk to do what you did. So that's great.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, speaking of being drunk and doing things you shouldn't do, you're listening to the Polykill Podcast. I'm Travis. Usually I'm sitting across from the lovely Jake, but we are sitting across town from each other. Jake, how are you doing?
I'm hanging in there, man. I got a haircut this week for the first time.
Who did that to you? Did you do that to yourself?
Well, I did it to myself once, and it turned out okay, but like, it obviously was not of a quality that I was comfortable living with.
I mean, how hard is it? You put it on like a number and you rub your head a few times, you put it on a different number and rub your head in a different spot a couple times, then you're done, right?
I mean, I think so, but like, that's what I did the first time, but it just didn't turn out. So yeah, they opened up the old sport clip, so I took a number and sat in the car and waited for them to come out and get me, put my mask on and all that jazz.
How awkward is all of that, like that system?
I mean, honestly, it wasn't bad at all. Like, I pulled in and there was like somebody waiting to come up to the car and ask me what my name was. And she's like, I'll come back and or I'll wave at you from the building when it's your turn to come in. So,
that's
it wasn't
cool.
bad at all, really.
Can you get the MVP still? Can you go in the back and breathe in their face while they give you a massage?
Yeah, that was offered. I declined just because I was kind of in a hurry, because I was like, you know, middle of the afternoon. I didn't want to be away too long.
Man, I'll always take it. I'll always go in the back and let them rub my scalp down.
But yeah, I think I brought this up before, but like, I don't know what's wrong with like my head in general, but like they, you know, they do that little scalp massage thing. Mm-hmm. And like, that's supposed to be like a treat. I feel nothing. Like I know that there's pressure from fingers there, but like, it does not relax me. It does not make me happy. I'm like, stop, just wash my hair and let's get this over with. Cause like, I derive no enjoyment from someone like touching my head.
Here's a fun game that I like to play. I like to go get my hair cut in basketball shorts because I don't like to get hair. I like to, you know, I wear workout clothes before I've worked out in them, right? I don't want to go in there sweaty, of course, but you know, I also don't want to get hair all up in my clothing. So I go in there like that, and then I get that MVP, and they take me to the back there, and some young gal you know, she tells you to lean back and she puts the warm, damp cloth over your head. And she's like, is that right? And you can kind of feel it slipping down, but you're like, nah, it's fine. It's good. And then I huff all the menthol that's in the air because for some reason they just rub you down in pure menthol. And then for the next like 5 to 8 minutes, however long they rub your head, I just try to vehemently fight off a boner. And before you know it, it's over. And I'm standing back in where I was getting my hair cut, and they're rinsing me off. So,
yeah, I don't have that problem at all. Usually it's just like, come on, just get this. Just wash my damn hair. Okay. Like I appreciate that this is part of the MVP triple play or whatever they call it. And like, that's fine. But just know this is fine. Like, that's it. Like, yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
I've been boner free so far. So,
yeah, I am happy to have a haircut. It feels good.
That's good, man.
That was the point of that whole ramble.
No, that's good. Haircut talk is what people come here for. I have actually been needing one, and because I've been, you know, I wear sweatbands when I run, and now when I wear one, I just look like an 80s pizza delivery boy. I got tons of hair. I got a mullet coming in and the sweatband, and then I'm losing hair on top, so it's kind of fuzzy. I either look like I'm doing like a Rambo cosplay as a fat kid, or I'm going to bring you a Domino's.
Boy, that sounds fun either way.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. All right, so video games, man. What the fuck's been going on with you? You been picking anything up? You can't leave your house. What have you been doing?
I honestly haven't bought anything video game related in a very long time. I think I've hovered over a lot of different things for a long time. Like today, there's like an Xbox sale because there's always one because they're constantly just rotating them in and out. But the Batman Arkham trilogy is like you can get all three of them for like $18, and like I came real close to just buying it because I played Arkham Asylum but never finished it, and I haven't played the other two. So I was like, maybe I'll just get these, you know, these could be cool. But then I cut, I am in that hoarding money mode kind of thing, so I was like, I don't know, $18, am I gonna play all three of these? I don't know. So I bailed on it, but I don't know, I haven't bought anything new in ages.
You've been Scrooge McDucking it over there with all the money you're hoarding.
I have so little to spend it on.
I mean, other than haircuts now, evidently. But,
right, which are ridiculously priced.
You know, I think you got to get into those Arkhams, man. I know you're kind of a Batman guy, you know, except both your parents are alive. But other than that, you're basically, you're Batman to me. But I really think you would enjoy those games. I don't know.
I know, and I know I would, and I think it's just like, it's kind of overwhelming because I know like once it gets to Arkham City, things get way out of hand in terms of
the
how
optional
big it
stuff
is.
Does, I would say, you know, if you really want to focus on the story, which I think is good, and they have a lot of really neat ways to put the different villains in there and give them their own airtime in the game. I don't know. I think it's worth it just for that. I didn't find myself getting too distracted by all the side stuff because it was daunting. I did in Arkham Asylum, but for the other ones in the series, I was more a 10% side stuff and very heavy on the story. I thought they were great. I didn't burden myself at all.
Yeah, I mean, I have no other thoughts on the other than that they are great, but I am, I don't know, I just couldn't commit. We'll see. I think they're still on sale for the next couple of days, so maybe.
I don't know why I'm trying so hard to talk you into spending money on games that I could literally just hand to you, but
yeah, I know it's fine,
but it's whatever, fine. Whatever. I did buy a few games, and I'm going to plug our friend John here again at Super Game Station, who has moved all of his stuff, or he's still moving all of his stuff online to supergamestation.com. And, it's a good deal. I talked to some people, I threw it into a Discord and some people bought some games from him and evidently have had some good experiences. So, if you are looking for some retro stuff, he's still adding things. I think some of the disc systems like OG Xbox and that kind of stuff he's still putting that stuff in the catalog. But I was able to get some good stuff. I got Blazing Lasers and Alien Crush for Turbo Graphics. I got some good Game Boy Advance games, Mario Superstar Saga, Mario versus Donkey Kong, and I cleaned out some of the good Genesis stuff. He had Rambo 3 and Final Zone there, so. There's plenty of more good stuff there. So I wanted to plug that and say, visit that store if you're interested and you have a hankering for buying retro stuff, but you've not been able to. I think that's a good place to go visit.
Heck yeah.
And it helps out a local business for us, especially, and a pal.
Damn right.
Goddamn right. Now, games on the radar. Now, I see here we got one. We got the same one on here, and I'm personally really excited about this. What are you thinking about that old man eater?
No, I have thought about dropping cash on this sweet thing. I really have, because I think everyone knows I love sharks in general.
Does everyone know that? Sometimes you say, like, you know, everyone knows I have a tattoo of the Kremlin, the Russian Kremlin on my thigh. Everyone knows this. I don't know the people know you
everybody
like sharks,
knows
Jake.
This.
How would they know?
I think I've brought it up multiple times.
Really?
I think I have. I don't know. But, like, I'm not going to consider myself, like, a fan of, like, you know, not to the point where, like, I know all about the subspecies and how long they live and all that stuff. I like the idea of sharks. Sharks interest me, and I think they're one of the most pure animals in existence. And for that, I respect them. So, like, having a whole RPG, essentially, like, RPG action kind of thing, where you play as a shark and just kill people, I mean, it looks great.
It does look great, yeah.
It looks great. Like, I remember seeing the first footage of this a while back. And I think at the time it was like a PC-only release, but like I'm so happy it made the transition over to consoles. So I will probably get this. And then like as soon as I buy it, it'll probably come to Game Pass, but that's fine. But I will probably pick this up at some point.
Is it on Xbox?
It is, yes.
I did not know this. I thought I thought that was the one place it wasn't. So that's good that it's on everything. That's great. I'm excited to get it on Switch, as you'd expect. But yeah, dude, just... I saw a couple GIFs people posted online, and just being able to leap from, you know, onto the beach and just maul someone to death and the blood spurting everywhere. I was like, sold immediately.
Yeah, it looks like good, just goofy fun, but I think it's also like technically solid and is actually a good game too, from everything that I have read and watched about it. So that could be pretty... I mean, it could be one of those out of the box things that kind of reignites me in my gaming.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of like, yeah. Oh, cool, sweet.
Actually, within the last year, I'd played another game where you are a shark, not as good. When we were at Too Many Games, I picked up Jaws, which came out during that PS2 Xbox era. And, I mean, it had its heart in the right place, I'll say that. But, you know, guiding that shark around was, you know, you ever try to, like, thread a needle with, like, dry thread? you can't aim that shit. You got to, like, get a little bit wet, stick it through. This was like, right. this was the dry thread. This is the worst metaphor ever made, but it was very hard to guide the shark is all I really wanted to say.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. I mean, this looks fluid, you know, and I liked, you know, those old Echo the Dolphin games back in the day. And this kind of, you know, puts me in that vibe where you're just in the water, but this time you're, you know, the apex rather than the, smart but somewhat insubordinate and subordinate, I guess, dolphin.
Dude, I have a fascination with the sea. Like, do you have that? Like, does the mystery of what's under the dark water kind of speak to you a little bit?
It does. You know, I don't know if it's greater in me than it is in others, but like, yeah, I have a real, you know, hankering to see more about what's going on down in the ocean.
My subreddit feed is split two ways. It's one half of it is just straight up murder, just missing people, unsolved crimes, all this shit. And then the other half is just gifts of the sea. Like, there's one called Heavy Seas, where it's just people on boats getting knocked around by stormy waters, which is fascinating. Then there's one called Thalassophobia, which I think I've talked about on Off Kilter, where it's just creepy things about dark waters, and man, I'm really fascinated with what lies beneath.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. It's easily the most weird shit on this planet by a mile, and I think because it literally is a whole different you know, ecosystem that's unlike anything else. And so I'm into it.
I like deep sea dives for wreckage. This is totally off topic. Deep sea dives for wreckage is kind of my kink. Like, my favorite part of Titanic was the beginning.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, get that.
Did you ever watch that, was it Ghosts of the Deep or whatever it was? The documentary thing that James Cameron did about that?
No, is that good?
I don't know. I think it exists.
Oh, I should check it out. I did recently watch a thing that was on some network channel, but we got it over the internet, whatever, called Draining. I don't know. They would just, the name of the show was always Draining Some Body of Water. And the first couple episodes that we watched were draining parts of the you know, I say drain, they're not really draining the Mediterranean, but they would do that digitally to kind of show you what was going on. And they were unearthing certain ships and aircraft carriers and stuff that had been sunk during World War II, and some of them still had like live bombs on them and stuff, and that was really cool.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. I'm into that, man. They make a game to tie it back to gaming. They should make a game where I just get, you know, not Abzu, but I just get to run around and look for wreckage.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about installing Subnautica a few times.
I need to play that. That's another one.
Yeah.
That's a spooky one, though, right?
I think you're like, yeah, I think it's less realistic in terms of like the flora and fauna, what one will find under the ocean. But I think it's, you know, the idea is that it's all underwater, so there's the claustrophobia of it. So yeah, it's on Game Pass. There's no reason for me not to play it.
No shit. Yeah, what am I doing? Need to play that. It's probably, you know, not very long. So anyway, yeah, Maneater came out as of this recording, which is on Saturday. It came out yesterday, so it is out. But because we skipped a week or a couple weeks, we're bringing it up here, of course. And then another one that is coming out that I'm excited about is Shantae and the Seven Sirens.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. That'll be really exciting.
Now, I know you're not, you've sort of said, hey, I'm not going to collect for the Switch anymore, which I guess and you're not spending money right now, so I guess that means you've blocked limited run and special reserve games from entering your email feed. But are you still, you know, choosing and picking some titles like this?
No, I've pretty much just cold turkey that stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, frankly, it's a little easier on multiple levels. I just have less to keep up with on a daily basis, because it seemed like when, especially with Switch stuff, there was just like a new limited run publisher popping up like every month. It was like, oh yeah, we do like 300 of these games, or we do 1,000 of these games, or we do blah blah blah, and it's like I can't keep up with all that. So like, it's a little less stress in terms of like actually spending money and also finding where to spend that money, so it's fine.
I hear you, man. Well, I did jump on that because, you know, it was a limited run deal to get it on the Switch, that Fizzadish, and I was excited about that. Now, I'm no big deal Shantae fan. I know our friend Church at the Game Grinder is maybe, you know, world class ranked in terms of Shantae fanhood, but I really enjoy that series. So excited.
Yeah, no, I have a good time. Actually, one of the games I'm playing now kind of reminds me of it. We'll talk about that here shortly. But yeah, it kind of made me want to jump back into some Shantae goodness.
Yeah, man. Now that comes out here at the end of next week, May 28th. And then a thing that's kind of surprised me, because it's, you know, it's been a while, as Stained once said, XCOM 2 is coming to Switch on May 29th. And, you know, I played it for a little bit. I think I had it on PC for a spell, and it just whipped my ass. And I no shame in my game. I would like to get it again, perhaps on the Switch, and just scale down that difficulty and run through it, because I just have a lot of fun playing XCOM when I'm not being murdered constantly. So I think I'll just do that.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Good time. Plus, it'll prime me a little bit for Empire of Sin, which I'm excited for, the mobster-esque XCOM game that's supposed to be coming.
Right. Right. Yeah. That'll be good.
No doubt.
Isn't John Romero involved with that?
I don't know. Yeah, that sounds right, actually.
I think he is. Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. What happened last time?
Well, let's check it out.
Previously on Polykill, Trav complained about Streets of Rage 4 art. I mean, what does he really want? Jake was looking at Nier Automata Booty and playing Animal Crossing. Trav can't figure out how to smash a bro, but did beat his 500th game in Yakuza 0. It took listener questions for the topic of discussion, but that was 2 episodes ago. Last episode, they talked about their future projects. Trav with Tales of the Lesser Medium, and Jake with Music That Makes Me. Those shows coming to the Polykill Network. Feels awkward, but I kinda like it. Polykill Network, next month. Well, end of this month, early next month. Check it out. And now, back to the episode.
Okay, yeah, that was a pretty fun episode, Jake. I mean, talking about the 115, of course, not the last one where we just shield our new stuff for 30 minutes, but in 115 there, we, you know, you had talked about playing Nier Automata Booty there.
Right.
And I guess maybe we'll talk a little bit about that later. I mean, or if not, maybe you stopped playing it. I don't know. Did you stop playing it?
I kind of did, yeah.
Okay, what about Animal Crossing? You been playing that shit still or no?
I kind of stopped that too.
Man, you're a new man since the last episode. This is why we got to do these more often.
I know, like, I don't know what the hell's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Well, I do, but this is not the time to get into it.
It says so on this bottle of pills. I was complaining about the Streets of Rage 4 art, and then, like, literally every review I saw of it was fairly positive, which made me kind of regret doing that, because now I just really want to play it no matter what. And hopefully everyone, you know, we had to skip last episode. We were a little bit busy, but hopefully you found some new stuff there from Jake and I that piqued your interest. We're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, for real. That's going to be cool.
Now, I've already spouted out my big release date. I've done a little stinger trailer out there, really talking it up. I'll tell you right now, that Twitter account, we have 18 followers, so it's
get out. Hot.
People are champing at the bit.
Is it champing or is it chomping?
See, one time I said chomping and you fussed at me, and so I make sure to specifically say champing around you and no one else.
No. I don't think it's. I think that was somebody else, because I do think it was chomping is my preferred way of saying.
Oh, you're also a chomp guy.
I'm a chomper for sure.
Oh, thank God. Okay, great.
Yeah,
we'll find that champing some bitch and we'll let him have it. It can't take both of us.
Yeah.
I was asking you, do you have a date in mind for when we might hear some of this new music podcast you got brewing?
Right. I think it will more than likely be, if not the 1st of June, the first week of June is kind of what I'm aiming at, which at this point is like a week from now.
Pretty close.
So we'll see. So we're cutting it close, but you know, there's no rush here, but I do want to have a couple, in the old hopper before I, you know, just say, hey, come here for these and don't have enough to go around. So yeah, I would say within the next couple of weeks that should be launching. So yeah, we'll see.
Nice,
should
man.
Be cool.
It's funny to me now when people say hopper, I just picture a fat sheriff from Indiana. So that's fun. That's a lot of fun.
Nice.
So what games you been working on? So like you said, you skimped on Nier Automata Booty, which I just like to say, that's why I said it again. You're not playing Animal Crossing anymore. What are you filling all that time with?
Well, frankly, you know, just haven't played a lot. You know, we'll talk about maybe some beats that I got here in a minute. But what I have been playing... is mostly just been in the last couple of weeks, but on some random evenings, I will play some Apex Legends again. So a couple of friends just started getting into that, and they were like, hey, do you play? And I said, sure. So
now refresh me on that one. Is that one that is kind of like a Overwatch adjacent?
Yeah, there's some Overwatchiness to it, but it's from the creators of Titanfall. It's a, you know, battle royale, 20 teams of three going in for the last team standing kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So like we're all pretty bad at it, but we just kind of have a lot of fun.
That's the best though, man.
Right. Yeah. Like sometimes we'll get kills. Sometimes we get absolutely none. But we make a lot of crass jokes and, just laugh a lot. So
that
it's good.
Like fun. I think I have sort of an aversion to playing online, and I think I just don't like to play with people who are serious.
Yeah. These guys are not serious. So that helps. We do not take
Great.
It overly seriously. Like there's been multiple times where we've sabotaged each other's good shots just by punching each other off of a high cliff or something.
I love that. That's awesome.
So it's fun.
I hate nothing more than trying to have fun and then people are fussing at you because you didn't do something and you're like, are you not even drinking? Because I'm very drunk. How are you still good at this? You should not be.
Yeah.
And I get mad at them for being good because they're being a stickler.
And they're sober.
And they're very sober,
yeah.
Usually.
So, like, just diving back into that, obviously it's changed a lot since Apex Legends is, like, the only game, I think, ever that I just started playing, or at least like this, that I started playing on the very first day, because I think it was actually, like, on a Memorial Day or a Labor Day or something. It was on a Monday holiday, and they just dropped the game out of nowhere, and it's like, here this is, and I just downloaded it and started playing it. So, like, since then... Obviously, the game has changed a lot of new characters, new maps, new modes, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, there's still the learning curve that's always present, but like the core gameplay is the same. So, yeah, it's fun. It's more of like a relaxing kind of hangout thing and less of, you know, us trying to get, you know, good, you know, just a lot of,
yeah,
just a lot of me, you know, singing like Eddie Vedder or Axl Rose. you know.
Aw, makes me miss you, man. most of the time that we spend together is I would say quality, but long stretches of just belting out anything as Eddie Vedder or Sinead O'Connor, and it makes no sense.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Good times. Yeah, that sounds like fun, man. You're getting some socialization through that at least, and that's important.
Yeah, for sure.
I have been, you know, the most antisocial thing you could probably be is a sniper. And I have been playing some Sniper Elite 4 in my downtime. And I, you know, I played either two or three, I think, maybe three with a buddy, or I don't know, maybe two. One came to Game Pass for free, the 360 version, so maybe two. But me and a buddy took a chance on it and just loved it. Just absolutely loved it. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, those were. But this one stepped it up a notch. I mean, it's, you know, obviously it's more graphical or more graphically intense. There's a little more of a story around it. It seems you're more of a, you're not just always in a perch. You're a lot of times you're a foot soldier. And, you know, the first thing you think of when you think of this game is the fucking kill cams. Oh my God, they're awesome. They're so great. Like you shoot a guy in the head, you see the brains fly out, the skull fragments just explode, all the guts. You shoot a guy in the fucking liver, and you see the liver go boom, and it says like liver shot, and I just fucking love it. And then you can like shoot a guy in his stupid like piss loving kidneys, and you can just watch his like kidneys explode. But my favorite one is you can actually, and it took, I played the game for probably 5 hours before I saw this one. You can shoot a guy in the fucking testicles. There's a testicle shot. Yeah. You can blow his balls clean off, and it does like a whole X-ray shot, and it shows like the organs in the body, and it's done really well too. I haven't seen many weird glitches with it or anything like that, but you can drop a man instantly if you shoot him right in the gidgets. So
yeah,
that's been great.
Yeah,
I like the missions too, man. I think there's 10 total in the game, so it's fairly substantial. I thought it was going to be like, you know, you do about four or five missions, and they may take 45 minutes each, and it'd be like a 7-8 hour experience. But each mission takes a couple hours because it basically gives you a brand new map, really big map, and you're just on your own. And they try to give you, like, they know you're going to kill everyone on that map, mm-hmm. but they'll give you like a little bit of a goal. They're like, hey, blow up that truck and kill Jim. And you're like, okay. And you just methodically go around and just murder everyone one by one. And it's so much fun. I really, really enjoy it. So I think I'm about halfway through that. I haven't picked it up in a little over a week or two, but I'm excited to get back in there because goddamn, it's just fun.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I've almost installed it a few times, right? Cause I think it's on Game Pass. So like I've almost installed it several times, just haven't pulled the trigger on it, but I want to. That's like, I think that and Hitman have kind of like been on my radar lately of like that sort of open, yeah. like chaos generating style, but not like over the top, like physics stuff, but like just go kill people in this playground.
Yes. And one thing I really like about those games, especially is they don't try to overload you with character building or any narrative. Like there's some brief conversations where it's like, you know what, Jim, you need to get out there and show them what you're made of. And he's like, I'll do it. I'm going to go out there right now. And then it just cuts to you holding a gun aiming at a guy. And it's like, didn't even need that, really. But they try to push you through a little bit just to be like, hey, look, we did some cutscenes just to show you that we actually made a game that's not just you murdering people constantly. Because right. That's the game.
Yeah.
Cool. That is the game. And it actually reminds me a little bit of Far Cry, which I like, that same formula of just you're on your own, kill everything you see. And I enjoy that, evidently. I don't know if that says anything about me. I should hold up my pill bottle. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
What else have you been working on?
So a couple weeks back, I installed Indivisible. And I actually bought this on PS4, but it came to Game Pass. So I thought, you know what? You know what's easier than putting a disc into a PS4? Just downloading it on my Xbox. So that's what I did. However, I installed it, played it for a minute, and then dropped it, and then kind of came back to it actually today for the first time in a while. And this is the one that kind of reminds me of Shantae, in terms of at least presentation. And
I'm sorry, you mean Shantae?
You're right. I do mean that. I do mean Shantae. But yeah, like it's an interesting little world. It's kind of unlike anything I've kind of played before in certain aspects. It's very character driven. So, like, you know, you're playing a strong character. There's a lot of familial ties that get, you know, strained at the start of the game. And then there's, you know, kind of a big bad. And then you assemble your party and start assembling your party. But, like, the main character, she stores people in this, like, basically it's like this inner realm inside of her head. So, like, she can just absorb people and they go up there. And then she can just bring them out when she wants to. And then that's the party for your combat. It's kind of, it's kind of weird, but it's like one of those things that it's a kind of a cheeky explanation to how, like, you know how when you play a Final Fantasy game or maybe like, maybe specifically like a Dragon Quest game, like you only see you move around the map, but when you go to a battle screen, there's like eight of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of a way of being like, this is how this is actually, you know, it's kind of cute.
I mean, she sounds pretty divisible to me.
Yeah. But anyway, there's like a lot of platforming sections, you know, you got to slide under things and do wall jumps. And, like you have an axe that you can kind of hang onto ledges with and pull yourself up. But like, then when you go into combat, it's a turn-based thing that's more, timing centric. So like you, each of your characters will build up an attack over time, and it's about maximizing that time, as it kind of goes against the timing of your opponent. So it's
interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The art style is great. The opening cinematic is just fan fucking tastic. Yeah, it's got a lot of charm. The characters are actually pretty strong. There's a couple of really funny ones, that are actually funny and not just like attempting to be funny. But yeah, the world's pretty cool so far.
Was that a fucking burn over here? What was that all about?
No. I'm just saying, like, video games have a hard time with comedy. I think that's a well established thing. But yeah, I'm enjoying this because it is kind of low key to play. It's not overly taxing in terms of like reflexes and stuff. But there is some strategy to it, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I just briefly watched a trailer of it while you were speaking. I was listening, but I just wanted to take in what the art looked like. But I did for some reason, you know, as soon as someone says RPG, I don't picture side scrolling. So is it kind of Metroidvania?
Yeah, like very lightly, I would say. Like, you know, there are some Metroidvanias that kind of expand out that idea pretty far. So like you'll see something in the first level that you can't access until you've reached the final level. I don't think it's quite that in depth, at least not yet. It's more like there's some place you need to get that you can see in the beginning of the stage, but by the time you reach the end of it, you can come back and get that if you want to. So okay. It's a little less drawn out so far. We'll see how it goes overall, but it's just a lot of fun. It's like, you know, it's kind of charming, kind of has that like Saturday morning feel of characters. And yeah, I'll probably stick with this one, I think, because I don't know how long it is, but you know, you can spend an hour or two in it pretty easily without it wearing you down.
I just looked it up. It's about 20 hours.
Okay. Yeah. That's decent.
Good. You know, just like you to jump into an RPG when you got several that, on your list to get to. So I won't bring that up again. We've harped over these resolutions. I'm just saying that I think Jake's going to fail all of them.
Probably.
Okay. So did we beat any games?
That's a good question. Did you beat any?
I did. I beat a couple. Yeah, I didn't. Because of the amount of time I had and the energy that I had, I wanted to play things that were kind of bursty. I think you talked last time. You were kind of into a burst game vibe with the games you were playing, and so I kind of changed gears to that too, because I was playing Ocarina of Time, and I've totally tabled that once again in favor of some things where I knew I could have bite-sized experiences that would begin and end, so I would eventually go to bed. And that actually paid off. That was a very good strategy on my part, because I am not good about disciplining my attention span. So I started off with Mario Golf. And now I know, you know, Jake oftentimes will beat me up over my beats. And he's thinking like, oh, what'd you do? You poke around and you played a funsy, cute golf game for an hour or two and got a beat there? And no, fuck you. It was 10 hours. It was quite long. It was 8 hours longer than I thought it was, because I also thought that. I was like, I'm going to play a few rounds of golf. It's going to be cute as fuck. I'll get the hook within the first 10 minutes and I'll blow through it. And no, it took forever. It's basically a golf RPG, as you'd imagine. You go to a golf course, and this is on the Game Boy Advance. You go to a golf course, and you basically chip away at it. You keep playing and ranking and getting experience points and building up your golfer until you beat that course. Then you go to the next one, and you just chip away, pun intended, at the courses until you win. And it took forever. It wasn't, not that it wasn't fun, but it took a lot longer than I expected it to.
That's always a fun thing to run into where you're like, oh, this should be quick, you know.
Yeah.
And it isn't. It's like going to go get your oil change and like, this should take an hour. And then there's like eight cars ahead of you.
That's exactly what this game was, basically an oil change without an appointment.
Yep.
That's how I would sum it up.
Good.
And actually, I was a little disappointed in the vibes. It's not very Mario-y. You are your own golfer. You're you. There's very little in the way of Nintendo whimsy or cameo. I was picturing something more akin to what we got on the Nintendo 64 or some of the later entries, where you can pick, you know, the different characters to golf with, and they all had different strengths and weaknesses. And that's not really here. So that's kind of a I mean, not that it wasn't fun, but it definitely could have been better. And then the other one I beat, because I know you got some actual substantial ones you want to get to, and mine are kind of little shitty games. But the other one was on the N64. I got you know, I was watching that Metal Jesus, and you know, we worship him here. And he did a little video about N64 racing games not too long ago, and I'm with him. I really like that era, like that. As our friend Snestrunk would refer to the N64 as 3D puberty, I think racing games actually worked pretty good, more so than a lot of the other genres. And so there's actually a lot of really good ones. And one that I don't know if Metal Jesus even talked about it, but he definitely got me inspired to go looking for some on my shelves, was Extreme G.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Extreme G. It actually has a sequel, XG2, but I haven't played that one yet. But and I feel like I have to say Extreme G, like I'm Macho Man Randall Savage. But you race in these in this futuristic environment on these wacky bike things. They're mostly wheel. Like, I don't even know where you are in the thing. I'm not really sure how the whole contraption works. But the cool thing about the game is it feels super fast. All of the tracks feel like you're actually on a roller coaster. It's a pretty well put together game, and I gotta say it's like fairly unknown as far as I can tell. Like no one's talking about Extreme G. I'll just say it, but I had a good time with it. The best part though, car combat. You can shoot the other racers around you, and you have like special weapons and stuff. So it's like a sneaky good time. I enjoyed it. To actually beat it, you have to beat every difficulty in succession. So you beat the easy mode, then you beat medium, then you beat hard, and then you can beat extreme. But I had issues beating hard, so I stopped there and just called it a day. But it is a good time. So if anyone's out there looking for something maybe they hadn't tried on the N64, I doubt many people have looked too far into Extreme G. Give it a go. It's a good time.
Sweet. Yeah, that sounds fun. And I definitely agree with you on N64 racers. I mean, I think aside from Mario 64, GoldenEye, Turok, I guess Ocarina of Time, like a lot of my big memories on N64 were racers, whether it was Mario Kart 64, Diddy Kong, Beetle Adventure, Hot Wheels, Cruisin' series. Like, those are just good time.
Yeah, and they actually have a good feel for speed. I mean, there's a lot of fog, obviously.
Right.
This game didn't have that because you're kind of racing into darkness, so they kind of covered it up that way.
Smart.
But yeah, I mean, I think it works pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. So we're talking about beats.
Yeah.
And what else do you do in the Streets of Rage 4 but beat them up?
Hey, hey.
There it is. So I didn't even know that this game was going to drop onto Game Pass. I was just completely out of the loop.
Oh, wow. So, I didn't know it did.
Yeah, I had no idea. So I turned on the old Xboxy one day, and I look at the Game Pass new arrivals, and there it sat. And I was like, well, hellfire, let's play this thing. Now, a lot of people like yourself had mentioned their opinion on the art. I, for one, love it. I think it's fantastic.
Maybe I need to see it in motion more. I think I spent a lot of time just looking at screens.
Yeah,
does it maybe just look good, you know, when you're in it?
I think so. Again, know. You know, I'm not going to try to convince you out of your opinion if that's what you think, but it feels good. It feels like a good beat 'em up. You can play online co-op two player. So a friend of mine, David, I've mentioned him before many times. We sat down and just played through the whole damn thing in one sitting, because it's not too hard to get through. I think maybe it was like 2.5 hours, maybe.
That's like a beat 'em up length.
Yeah. And it was, you know, I mean, the story is kind of you know, just a lot of boilerplate bad guys and stuff. But they did a really good job of sort of mimicking the pace and the cadence of a beat 'em up. You know, how like the boss of the first stage shows up just a regular character in the stage later, you know, just kind of ups that ante constantly. And so, you know, some fun mechanics. You had your weapons, you smash the barrels to get the turkeys and all that shit. So it was like very old, you know, old school in terms of that. And lots of unlockables. I think you have to play through the game 8 or 9 times to get everything. So I don't know that I'll ever do that, but I'll probably go back to it, frankly, because it's just, you know, it's a good game, kind of like I was talking about Apex, where if, like, you know, just want to hang out and shoot the shit. It's a game you have to pay attention to, but it's not overly taxing. It's just good button mashing fun with fun characters, good character designs, and some cool, you know, nods, winks, surprises from the series past.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for me about beat 'em ups is the replayability. They're all about 2 to 2.5 hours, and they're always better with a buddy. And you always have a buddy that comes over and hasn't played it before, and you're like, fuck yeah, I'll play through that again. So I think that's where it really gets its legs, in that it's just something, you know, of all the genres, I think, that I can think of off the top of my head right now, I think a beat 'em up is the revisitor of all of them. So that's cool that it kind of holds that. Are there any new school elements? Like, you talked about how it's definitely, and I hate this term, but it's kind of a love letter to what, you know, the previous entries were. Is there anything in there that's like, wow, that's a 2020 thing?
No, honestly, I didn't notice much in terms of whether it was feel or control layout or, you know, bonuses and whatnot. Like, I mean, it's pretty consistent with the games of yore in terms of how it's put together. Yeah, you know, weapons you have limited amount of use of, you can fall through holes and die, fire's bad, you know, it's all very very much, you know, in canon with normal Streets of Rage.
Now I gotta ask, one of the biggest things about Streets of Rage that I can remember, aside from, you know, the game and all that, but is the music really stood out to me. Does it still hold a candle to its old self in terms of the soundtrack?
Yeah, music's great. Like, it holds up like very well. Well, not holds up, but like, I mean, it's good. There's a lot of original stuff, you know, some remixes of older stuff, but
nice.
It's good. It's really good. It's a lot of fun, man. And there's no reason not to play it at all. It's good.
Yeah. I think that's another one that I think I have ordered for Switch at some point. So
sure,
I should be getting it at some point.
Yeah. Cool.
What else did you knock out though?
I picked a random one, and I don't really even understand why I did, but it was shortly after I downloaded Nier Automata Booty, or whatever you call it.
Automata Booty.
So after that, I just downloaded Darksiders 3, and I was like, I'm going to fucking play this game because no real reason.
You played the other ones, obviously.
I played the other ones.
Random.
Yeah, I mean, but it's been years, you know. I think, you know, Darksiders 2 was out on 360, you know, so like that's when I played it. But yeah, I liked it. I think it took me about 15 hours. There were multiple issues I have with the game as a whole, like just technical issues. The game froze on me several times. Some weird frame rate issues that, you know, I'm playing on a 1X. Why am I getting frame rate issues? But like, it's not a game to write home about, but like, I did have a lot of fun with it. I like the lore. I'm a sucker for like religious epics and a lot of like religious iconography and overtones, and the whole heaven's fighting hell and you're in the middle and all that stuff is just fun to me. And, you know, it kind of kept that formula that Darksiders always kept, which is the Legend of Zelda meets God of War with a, you know, a cool, you know, brightly colored coat of paint on it. No real memorable characters, but some cool, you know, story moments and some cool powers. I think you had like 4 different elements that you could infuse in yourself, and each element came with a different weapon. Plus you had your standard whip the whole time. So yeah, it was neat.
It does sound fun. That's one I hadn't played. I played 1 and 2. So remind me, so 4 hasn't come out yet, right?
No, it's out. They don't really call it 4. They call it Genesis because you're playing as, I don't remember which name they chose for that horse, because you play War, Death, Fury, which is actually kind of a bit of a liberty with the name, but the other one I can't remember. But he's kind of like the more like the Deadpool style one in terms of like attitude, and he's got guns. But it's more of a like a dungeon crawler style.
And at some point, was three the one where, you know, THQ kind of went under right before, and that one was in question, or was it after this one that that happened?
I think it was around. No, I think it was before. I think it was before, because this one was picked up much later.
Yeah, and I think this was the rough edges to it, or because of that.
No, I think it's just the developer. I like the developer, whose name is escaping me right now. But they did a few other games that I've enjoyed. Gunfire. It's Gunfire Games. They did Remnant from the Ashes, which I liked. And then they did, I think, Secret Ponchos, which was a PS4 shooter. So like they've done good stuff, but they've never been extremely technically proficient in their final deliverables, which I, you know, at this point you could blame on THQ because they did publish it, THQ Nordic. So it could have just been lack of, you know, QA assets that they were able to allocate to the team.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean,
rough around then. So that's cool.
It was playable. So, you know, it's not like it was broken, just some moments that were like, eh. But
and I haven't really found, I mean, again, I've only played one and two, but it doesn't seem like you have to really play those games in order to enjoy any of them.
I think this one's best played at the end of the other two, because it does reference a lot of the first two.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
okay.
Yeah, right. It definitely builds on what came before it.
Well, that's cool then.
If you care about the story, to be clear, if you care about the story,
I do a little bit. I mean, it is interesting. I was like kind of like you. I'm not as into it as you are, but this concept of the Four Horsemen really drew me in initially, and I've been curious about how they'd wrap it up. So I might get back in at some point.
Yeah, it's again not going to blow you away, but it was a fun 15 hours. Just a lot of hacking and slashing and combos and talking to Volgrim and powering up your powers. So that was a good time. Yeah.
Nice, man. Well, we each got two beats. That's good. Good for us.
I mean, listen, that's real good for us.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Specifically
Fuck
me.
Yeah.
Specifically me.
Specifically. Yeah. I mean, I just beat a golf game and a racing game.
Yeah.
I mean, you really bangs out some big boys here. And
17 hours like that, of game.
But yeah, I mean, shit. All right.
Yeah.
Guys, hey, little self ad here in the center. You can always find us online at polykill.com, as well as our Twitter, which is just at polykill. You can find us individually as well. And I'm not ending the show. I'm just telling you where you can find us. I'm at Trav Plays Games, and Jake over there, he's at the McAxel. You can drop us a line at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. And seriously, someone do it. I'm not even sure if that email address still works.
I think it does. Do they just stop working? I don't know if that happens.
I don't know. But it was basically just a way for me to guilt people into maybe giving us a little shout out there on the old email. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. We also do have a Patreon, which grants you access to exclusive weekly content. You can influence the show with your chosen topics of discussion. You get early Tales of the Lesser Medium, which is kind of your new thing. Mm-hmm. Music that makes me Drunk Friend, Nest Friend, Off Kilter, etc. So yeah, you can, the pledges start at just $1 on the Patreon. So you can, check those out, see which works for you. You can join our Discord. We got a lot of meme loving, fit getting, fun having, all inclusive hilarity in the old Discord.
Yeah. It's a good time there, man.
Yeah.
And you've been on a little something lately that seemed as impromptu as Drunk Friend, in that it just kind of happened over a weekend. You ended up there in the old vinyl collection. I guess live airing a podcast with STC boys, or at least with Bill and the gang.
Yeah. So, Bill just started doing like live streams of him going through his vinyl collection. And then I think slowly, Matt Bandy joined, Kevin, from Buried on Mars joined. And then, you know, I would watch those after the fact, never to watch them live, but like I just commented on Twitter one day and I was like, hey, you know, I just so you know, I enjoy these. I just haven't caught one live yet. And then Matt was like, hey, you should, I think you should be on the show. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm open to that. So like, I think I've done three now and we're doing another one on the 28th.
Nice.
So yeah, it's just,
you can catch those live. I think if you, yep. I don't know if the next one's up yet, but if you follow STC Pod, on Twitter, you can, or I'm sorry, well, yeah, on Twitter, but on YouTube, sometimes he'll, I guess, the way you can do it on YouTube, I'm actually not very good with how YouTube works in terms of scheduling things. You can schedule a live thing and you can be ready for it when it happens. So,
yeah. So, yeah, you basically have like a reminder and then you get a notification that says, hey,
I don't know why I'm telling everyone else that probably already knows these things.
But yeah, it's fine.
You can do that.
It's fine.
You can do that. They've been fun, though. I've jumped into a couple. I've watched for a few minutes at a whack. Haven't sat down and watched the whole thing, but you guys have a lot, you know, your music diction. I'm always impressed with people that are really passionate about something, how they sort of have their own language to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that puts me as a bit of on the out crowd when I hear people, you know, describe music or a band or a show that they've been to, or even like the art on the cover. And I'm like, well, that's fucking articulate. I don't know that I can do that. So I am impressed with, you know, it's not something I expected to have multiple recurring episodes of. And this has actually been something that's very entertaining, is just watching you guys talk about each album, what it means to you, what's special about it. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's been fun because, you know, there's, you know, Matt has brought on records that literally changed the direction of his life. And, you know, Bill's dragging out a bunch of old records that we make fun of because they're in poor quality. And Kevin is like very like regimented, not very regimented, but like he can be regimented about like what he brings on. Like he'll bring on, like, it's blues night, so he'll just bring out a bunch of blues records or something like that. And, you know, those guys are just incredibly knowledgeable about, you know, what they're into, and, you know, they know who produced what and played on what and who was sleeping with who and all that stuff.
That's incredible. They have all of the all that goss to accompany everything.
Yeah, no, it's a good time. So yeah, it's just fun to pick out something that's interesting that maybe has a story, whether it's about the music or where I got the record or you know, whatever, just to sit around and gab about that. So it's been a good time.
Nice, man. Nice. Well, you know, we didn't really have anything major planned for wrapping up the show at all, but, you know, maybe we can. You know, we missed an episode last time, so I guess people are maybe wondering what's up with us. So maybe you can take a turn here and, like, you know, I know you said you're alone most of the time, but I saw you somewhere getting moonshine. Like, so what else has been going on? How have you stayed sane?
Well, staying sane has been honestly just a sort of not that difficult. Which is kind of weird. I expected this to be more difficult than it was because, you know, I am living alone and there's no, obviously, socialization really to any extent. More, you know, I've seen my family on a few occasions. And that's really about it. Brian came over here one day to drop off a light. I think that's, you know, it's very rare.
I brought you a table.
You did bring a table. Yep, you did. I forgot about that. So, yeah, there's just been not a lot. So, like, basically, I've just been sticking to my routines of, you know, trying to get in bed at a decent time, still get up at a decent time, go to work. I have a whiteboard of, like, things that I want to accomplish every day. So, like, before I go to bed, I write out everything I want to get accomplished the next day. And that includes, like, work stuff or just, like, regular household chores or, you know, just things I need to accomplish. And
where did you get that idea from? Is that something that you done, you know, prior to this, or like, where does that come from?
No, not really. I honestly am not sure. I think I enjoy the idea of, you know, I think everyone likes checking off a list, right? Mm-hmm. There gives you some accomplishments, and, you know, you can throw yourself a bone occasionally, put something easy on there to get that endorphin of checking something off the list. But I think it just came from the fact that I wanted to keep myself from just lying on the couch and watching Netflix all the time. So I think a lot of it just came from me wanting to keep myself on track with things, whether it was exercise or, you know, when I'm getting groceries or whatever. And then I've like incorporated the exercise stuff in there. We're doing like this push-up thing in the Get Fit Discord. So I put that on there every day. And so basically every time
I've been slacking on that one.
Yeah,
I gotta get back into that.
Yeah, you have. But yeah, so like anytime I check something off of the list, I do 10 push-ups. So that's kind of
that's cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a recursive thing.
Now, do you fit it into gaming at all, any of these, not the list specifically, but maybe you can answer that, but also like the little exercises, because, you know, to catch people up, we're doing, well, some of us are doing, I have slacked, but sort of a body weight self-accounting of how many, you know, push-ups, sit-ups, and, you know, squats you could do in a day. And it's not really competitive. It's just to sort of track yourself. How do you fit those in?
It's just kind of like throughout the day for the most part, you know, like, if I get something done at work, I'll walk over to the whiteboard, check it off, and then just, you know, put a mark beside the push-ups that I'm going to do 10, drop down, do 10, come back over to the computer and continue working.
So when you're playing games, you're not like, all right, if I die, I have to do 20 sit-ups.
No, I'm not doing that. But I do put gaming stuff on the whiteboard, you know, like, especially back when I was playing Darksiders, I would put, like, you know, find the next, you know, the level, or, you know, beat the next boss or whatever. So
that's cool, man.
Yeah.
I'm so bad about making a to-do list for myself. It really is sort of an art. Like, you kind of have to, you can outsmart yourself, or you sort of have to know how to outsmart yourself so that you don't cheat your way through the to-do list. So at the end of the day, you got a bunch of checks. And I'm really bad about that. Like, I put on there just like drink some water.
Right.
And then just swallow once, not even, you know, just swallow spit and be like, that's basically water. I did it. Just check that off. I did used to, though, back in the day when I was a little more, obedient about my fitness and I was in sports prison. I remember there was a segment of time where if for every point I scored, I would get down and do push-ups in NCAA football. And I was, you know, doing pretty good there for a little bit.
Yeah.
I had a couple bad seasons where I didn't get to do as many, but for the most part, it worked you out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I think it's just, you know, given that, you know, there's not a lot of other things to do in the world right now, that's just a way that I've helped keep myself on track, sane, et cetera. And, you know, sometimes I get pretty ambitious with the checklist and I give myself grace and forgiveness when I don't complete everything. But, you know, there's a sense of accomplishment at the end of the day if I can just look at that whiteboard and see, like, everything's checked off and it's, like, a pretty full list. It just, you know, the next day I'll just put a little bit less on there because I did good the day before, and then that's good enough. So
there you go.
Yeah, it's, you know, between that, I've watched a lot of shows. I've binged a lot of shows. Silicon Valley, which, don't get me started on that. I love the cast, but man, that show got on my nerves, even though I finished it. I just had to see what happened at the end, right? But, like, it just, I don't know.
So good writing, but maybe some weird or some unfavorable ideas. Characters.
No, I love the characters. I think the characters were the only reason I kept watching.
Okay.
The story just, it was, at times. Started watching some old movies. Got the Criterion streaming service, so, you know, watching some Kurosawa, some Bergman. So watch, you know, Seventh Seal and Rashomon. And
man, you're going to be starting another podcast with fucking Buried on Mars before you know it. You guys will be talking about all the black and whites. That's I call them.
Yeah, the black, the
you
old
guys
black
watching
and
all
whites.
The black and white.
No, he's much smarter about that stuff than me. I just watch it to, like, give myself context, and, you know, obviously those movies are enjoyable, but I don't have the bandwidth to be an expert on that at all, but
I hear you.
I do enjoy watching them. I feel like there's
I will watch a classic that I know I won't enjoy just to build it into my contact stream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually a really big reason that I want to just bite the bullet and watch Gone with the Wind. It's been on in the same room as me when I was a kid and I was like, ugh.
Sure.
I didn't want to watch it, but I really just need to do it. There's so many references in pop culture still to this day about that movie.
Yeah.
I just need to watch it.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, honestly, that's kind of it. You know, I get outside when I can, you know, when it's not pouring down rain, because that seems to be the MO for the last week and a half. But yeah, made some moonshine with our friend Dave the other weekend.
Yeah, please. I was like, get to the fucking moonshine already.
Yeah,
I don't care
about
the
weather.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So anyway, we were planning to do a hike, just like an overnight hike, just the two of us. We were going to go stay in the shelter in Bland County where that person got killed. Like, that's what we're going to do.
Oh, yeah, Wapiti.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. But
now, by the way, that person got killed in the 80s, just so the people listening
are
like,
not
what?
Like yesterday. Yeah, not yesterday. So anyway.
Actually, people got killed there, or there's an interesting story, but two people were killed there, and then there was the guy attacked people there again like 20 years later. It's a crazy story.
Yeah. So we were going to go stay there, but the weather obviously had different ideas. So anyway, he was like, hey, I think it's supposed to rain in the evening, but I'm going to make some moonshine. Do you want to come over? And I was like, sure. He's like, it's pretty easy. Basically, we set it up and then just sit around and drink while it makes. I was like, that sounds like a great afternoon.
I think that's smart because I think of any recreational activity that we could do right now, moonshine might be the only one that can kill coronavirus. So I think you were in the clear. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we kept a healthy distance apart. You know, we had to get close a couple times when we were carrying around the 5-gallon barrels of mash. But so he already had like the mash and the yeast and all that stuff done before I got there. I just helped him move it into the copper boiling pot and then started it up, set up the coils for the cooling and changed out the water and the coils as it was, you know, making just because like, because basically like, you know, as the mash boils, it evaporates, goes through the copper tubing and then goes through like the spiral through a water tank to cool it off before it goes into a jar. But over time, that water in the cooling tank will heat up because of that steam is so damn hot. So you have to like change it out. So, you know, that was kind of like the only real work that we had to do that and change jars and then sample every jar.
of course.
So that's we ended up with like a dozen jars and we just sat around and drank scotch and beer, which was weird to see Dave drink beer, but he drank beer.
His kidneys must be acting up.
I guess. I don't know. But we drank scotch and beer and taste tested moonshine and listened to country music in the shade. It was
that sounds like a good time, man.
Yeah, we shot at the sheriff when he drove by and said, get off my land and all that good stuff.
Nice, nice. He fucking deserved it. I bet.
But what about you? What have you been doing, Doc?
Oh, yeah. Well, I did. Yeah, you're going to drop that one. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I was telling someone the other day that, and I think that someone was my wife because I've only talked to like three people. But, you know, she was like, how does it feel? And it's weird how there's more, I feel like there's more pressure on me now than there was before. I thought like, oh, man, once I get through this process, the clouds will open up and opportunities will emerge and I'll finally have made it. I don't think I can go any further. But now it's weird in that the very minute that, you know, you go through the defense and then there's this whole part where they're like, they kick you out. Now, in real life, what happens is you're in a room with them and they make you go out in the hallway and then they deliberate and then they peek out and they call you back in and you come back in and they give you what they deliberated on. And in my scenario, because this is the world we live in, I had to do all this through a Zoom meeting. So I was able to defend my PhD without wearing shoes, which I think is a cool thing to brag about. And they basically have to kick me out of my own Zoom meeting. So they have to make someone else a host. And then they're like, all right, go get fucked. And so and they're like, log off. And they were very agitated about it too. Like, log off. Can you log off? Are you logging off? Could you know where, go to the bottom right, log off? Like they were being a dick about it. I was like, I'm getting air. I don't want to end the meeting. I'm trying to just leave the meeting. So I leave the meeting and then I get a text back from my advisor who's like, all right, come on back in. And my boss, who's also my co-chair, he delivers the news and he trolls me a little bit and is like, hey, we have some concerns that you're going to be a fine doctor. I was like, oh, fuck you. But at that moment, when I realized that they were kind of, and they do this sort of as a celebration for them, they talk to you immediately like you're on equal footing with them. And that's, I think that's part of their process is like, you get there, at least for me, the way it worked. And I know I'm going way in the weeds. I've been so excited to talk about this process. No one's asking shit about it.
That's awesome.
You start out and, you know, I started out the meeting and everyone was really chumly. They're like, hey, how's it going? How's your daughter? How's this? How's this? How's that? And I was like, everything's great, guys. This is going to be a lot of fun, right? We're going to have a lot of fun. We'll get out here by noon. Sorry, I didn't bring any hors d'oeuvres, but obviously I'm at home and you're at home. So we couldn't do that part. And then they send me out. They bring me back in. Now everyone's kind of like not your friend anymore. And you can kind of feel that they're not. They're just immediately like, all right, do your dance, monkey. I did my dance, brought back in. Now we're on equal footing. And now my imposter syndrome is like through the roof because it's like, oh, shit. Now you think I belong here and I still don't think I do. And I think that's still true right now. Like I don't know when it sets in that I've actually done it, but it still feels like I have shit to do. Like I don't know at what point where it's like, oh, I'm actually done with this. It doesn't feel like it yet. So, but thanks for asking me, though. I do appreciate that. I don't think a lot of people particularly care, and I don't really like bragging about it, but it is cool
No, it's super cool, man. Like, it's super cool. Like, I'm super jazzed for you because I know you've been busting your ass for years to get to this point. And then, like, the timeline was obviously artificially compressed by the world situation and your desire to kind of get this behind you. So, hats off to you and hoods on to you.
Yeah, man. I appreciate that.
That's,
I do.
That's fucking awesome.
Thank you. Yes, I am. I did push my commencement off to till the winter or the fall so that I can proper graduate around humans. Hopefully, I'm given that opportunity if COVID ever goes away.
Yeah.
That way we can do some proper partying with me wearing a goofy gown.
Yeah, so I'm ready for that.
It'll be a few months from now, but we'll get it in. And you brought up a good point, actually. I did kind of self-sabotage myself through this timeline in that had I done what the grad school wanted, which was graduate by the 9th of April, I couldn't have done this. But they at some point sent an email around April 10th that was like, hey, we extended the date for defense and graduation till May 22nd. And I was like, huh, I think I might be able to get this done. And so if I had waited properly, I would have given myself plenty of time. But I saw the date and was like, what is that, 6 weeks? And then yeah. I just fucking did it. So I don't know what came over me. Nine times out of 10, I needed someone to talk me out of that decision, but there was enough yes men around me to help me through. So it's done. Thankfully, I can get back to making, podcast and YouTube videos, the important stuff.
Right. Well, that is just the disparity of our lives. I'm making moonshine and you are earning a PhD.
To be honest, I wish I was able to make some moonshine. That sounds way more fun.
I mean, it was pretty fun, but I mean, it's not gonna something I can hang on my wall.
I don't know. But that is the moonshine's cool. Being a doctor is cool. We're cool guys, Jake.
I don't know. You're a cool guy. I'm along for the ride. I'm riding your coattails throughout this whole thing.
I wish I had some coattails.
Some gown tails.
No, I think that about does it for an episode. We talked about the games we're playing, games we're beating. We did a whole episode, and then we closed it out by, inspiring the folks out there to get drunk off moonshine if you can.
Yes.
Take a walk in the woods with a friend if they keep 6 feet away, and stay out of grad school. It's tough. It sucks. I guess that does it then, huh, Jake?
I guess so. I guess that's it.
All right, I still don't remember how we don't do these often enough anymore. I can't remember how to close out an episode. For me, I'm Travis, and I'm at Trav Plays Games, and we'll catch you. No, you go next.
I'm Jake, and I'm at the McAxle.
Yes, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
I need to write that down. I forget how it goes. All right, it's Polykiller time. As you know, you need to make a tweet. Well, first you got to beat a game. Well, first you actually got to pick a game out. Then you beat it. Then after you do that, take a picture or do a little screenshot action. Post it on Twitter. Say, hey, I just beat this by putting hashtag just beat it. And then saying at Polykill, get our attention. Because, hey, everyone's out there using the hashtag now. We created a monster. And we can't sift through them all because I don't think all of them listen to the show, which is disappointing, but understandable. So yes, if you would do that, you can end up here on the show. How do you do it? Well, you beat enough games, you can become a Polykiller. Or if you just make a really good tweet, we may read it out here on the show. Let's get started, shall we? First with the Polykillers. Now, we have a three-headed monster here. It's been a while since we've done an episode. The last episode was just us promoting ourselves. I'm sure you loved that. You were like, wow, this is great. I love hearing about things you're going to do. But no, we're back now with the full episode. So here's a month's worth. I've been drinking of beats. Starting out here, Corpse Flood. He beat Aces of Luftwaffe Squadron. Luftwaffe Squadron. Undertale, Streets of Rage 4, Full Blast in the Final Fantasy VII Remake. Good job, Corpse Flood. That's a good list of games right there, man. Next up, no stranger to the list, although he wasn't on the last list, I don't think, or one of the previous lists, and he was taken by surprise. And me too. I thought he was dead. But he's not. It's the disposed hero. He beat Metal Gear Solid, Resident Evil 3, Nemesis, Final Fantasy 9, I think, or 10. I might have typed that in wrong. He beat one of the Final Fantasies that has an X in it. Streets of Rage 4, Doom 64, and the Final Fantasy 7 Remake, which is a hot commodity. A lot of people playing, enjoying, and beating that one. And then our crown, our king, our polykiller for the last month is Captain Algebra. No stranger to a math book. No stranger to beating games. He beat Katamari Damacy. Damacy? Damacy? Pixel Ripped, 1989. The Aquatic Adventures of the Last Human. Dino Wars, one of my favorites. Three Stooges. Wizard Fire. Secret Agent. And Heavy Barrel. So good job, everybody there. Good job, Polykillers. Way to beat the games, man. They deserve it. They deserve it. Okay, let's get to some fun beat tweets. What do we got here? Well, we have our friend Corpse Flood. Again, he beats a bunch of games. He makes a bunch of tweets. He's bound to randomly get one in this section as well. He says, hashtag, just beat it. Aces of the Luftwaffe Squadron. This was a very fun shmup with a mission format, skill trees, side missions to accomplish, and creative, challenging bosses, and you control all four planes at once. It kind of looks like a phone game, but it plays so well. That's encouraging. I like a good little simple game like that, a good little fun shoot 'em up. And it's, you know, as unfun, I guess, as the Luftwaffe were, it's a fun word to say. It's a fun word to say. Next up, Topspot123, he says, hashtag just beat it, Prince of Persia, the Fallen King, the DS companion to POP08. I don't know what that means. That's what he said. Was looking for a change of pace. Game is honestly designed well, but the mandatory touch-controlled platforming is fiddly and annoying. Not a bad game, but can't recommend unless a big POP fan. I'm down with, Prince of Persia. DS companion to Prince of Persia 08. I'm getting this now. I'm going back through the tweet. I'm now seeing what he's talking about. He might be talking about that PS3 Prince of Persia that I bought back in the day and I was disappointed with. But hey, if you're a big POP fan, I'm down with POP, you know me. He can't recommend it unless you love that game. So, good to know. Next up, Jeffrey Hilliard at Self-Destruct. Ow! He says, hashtag, there's a lot of hashtags here, so get ready for this. Buckle up, hashtag fever. We got hashtag just beat it, hashtag secret files Tunguska on the hashtag Nintendo DS, a quick little hashtag point and click adventure game with an hashtag X-Files vibe. I've got it for hashtag Wii 2. Might burn through that version to see how different it is. Hashtag NDS. Secret Files Tunguska. And I thought that was interesting. I had not heard of this, but it seems, you know, I like a good X-Files vibe. I don't mind a point and click, especially with the DS. It feels natural. You actually have a point and clicker it built into the game. Why not use it, you know? So that's cool. So good job there. And yeah, I might look into that. Sounds cool. Next up, Disposed Hero. Hey, man, sometimes they beat a lot. Sometimes they end up here. It's happened twice. What are you going to do about it? At the Disposed Hero, he says, Resident Evil 3 Nemesis. First time playing this in over 10 years. I still enjoyed it as a Resident Evil mega fan, but it's probably my least favorite game in the series. Hashtag just beat it. And of course, I included this here because on May 26th, tune in on iTunes. Can you tune in on iTunes? Point your phone toward an iTunes satellite or a Google Play podcast satellite or a podcast RSS feed satellite and download Tales of the Lesser Medium with myself and Caleb J. Ross as we talk through the narratives of Resident Evil. And Disposed Hero, I'm counting on you to listen to that podcast. I hope you enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, please don't tell me. I'll be crushed. But, you know, if you enjoy Polykill, you probably enjoy most things, I would imagine. Okay. Next up, Producer Jay at TechnoDork437. And the 437 is, of course, how many times it took his parents to conceive him. He says, hashtag just beat it. Hashtag deliver us the moon from Kyokin. Must be the name of the developer. I'm sorry, I don't know that. Amazing game with a great story, gloriously rage-inducing in the right places, rapturously delightful when completing a challenge. Play this on Xbox, or he hashtags Xbox Share. I'm looking at the screenshot here. That does look cool. Looks like a satellite space being obliterated. Or really, I guess it could be anything. That could be a toilet exploding in the dark. But just because I don't know what it is doesn't make it any less awesome. This looks like a lot of fun. I would personally like to have the moon delivered to me because I hear it's made of cheese. And I'm a big cheese hound. Okay. Next up, Jeffrey Hilliard at Self-Destructo. No way, did he get two? Man, you can't compete with probability. You just can't. These are random beat tweets. What are you going to do about it? He says, wow, what a surprisingly great game. 80% very tough duty platformer, 20% fairly easy puzzler. Excellent graphics and music makes this one a must play if you can find cheap, and that is Henry Hatsworth. And I think the proper title might be Henry Hatsworth in the Puzzling Adventure. So if you like puzzles, you like hats, if you like your platformers a little tough and your puzzles a little easy, which I gotta say I think I do, that might not be a bad game to play. And then lastly here, now we did a bunch because it's been a month, so I'm trying to catch up here. Lastly here, our buddy, and by the way, our buddy that looks really good in a goatee these days, Rocket Sauce at It's Rocket Sauce. I had a way better time with Ratchet & Clank PS4 than the original PS2 release. Makes me want to play more games in the franchise. I see some people say this ranks somewhere in the middle of the RNC franchise. If that's the case, which is the best? So, hey guys, reach out to It's Rocket Sauce. Let him know what your favorite Ratchet & Clank game is of that original series. He'd like to know. He's dying for some more. So that does it, everyone, for the hashtag JustBeatIts, the beat tweets, the polykillers. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. We love seeing all of these pop up in the feed. I wish we could shout out all of them. We do the tweet, of course. It's just, I mean, do you want a show of me just type, you know, saying names and game titles? Do you want that? You don't want that. I'm just going to go ahead and say you don't want that. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. We're happy to be back. We're happy to read your tweets. But keep on tweeting on, everybody, and we'll catch you next time.